I suspect that most of us are familiar with the poet Emily Dickinson. Emily was a reclusive genius in the mid-1800s. The treasury of her poetry could have very easily been lost to history if it had not been for a very special friendship, a unique friendship she had with Thomas Higginson. Thomas was actually a Unitarian pastor, but I guess more importantly for Dickinson, he was a literary critic. He wrote quite often for the Atlantic Monthly magazine, and he had written an article giving advice to young writers. So Emily Dickinson read that article, and she wrote Thomas a letter enclosing two of her poems. When she got a very favorable response, a very gracious response from Thomas, she started writing more letters and sending more poetry. And so it was through that correspondence that Emily and Thomas developed a deep friendship. Only through the writing of those letters. The depth of their connection is captured in one line that Emily wrote in a letter to Thomas years after they had been writing to one another. I love this phrase. She said to him, "I found it shelter to speak with you." What a great thought. And so in Higginson, this reclusive young woman, this poet, Emily Dickinson, found her most trusted friend, one in whom she could share the depth of her soul, the treasures of her poetry. And so it was really only through their friendship that she became known to the world. So let me ask you, who do you have that kind of connection with? Who nurtures you in that way? With whom do you find it shelter to speak or to spend time with? To be safe enough to share your innermost thoughts, the very content of your soul. We all need that. And so who do you have? I'm fortunate to have maintained a handful of friendships through the years. I mean long-term friendships. And one of the tests of those friendships is the connection that we immediately have, even regardless of how long we've been separated by time or space. Do you have friends like that? I have friends that I treasure that maybe it's been 10 years since I've seen them because of our work or separation in distance, but when we are together, it's as though no time has passed. We instantly go back to that moment, that point, that depth of connection. And so what a great treasure in our lives. Some have called that holy friendship. It's certainly the experience of community and friendship and even spiritual communion that is shared. And I often walk away from those meetings thinking in my mind that line from Dickinson, "I found it shelter to be with you, to speak with you." Well, I want you to get that in your mind and heart as we read this story about Jesus going to spend time with Lazarus, Mary, and Martha in their home. What emerges from the text is the reality, if you read the gospel all the way through and watch Jesus' travels, these are the closest, most intimate, trusted friends of Jesus. Now, he has the disciples, and that's his inner circle, but Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, those are his closest personal friends. And so this gathering in the home of Lazarus with Mary and Martha is an example of holy friendship, of deep connection, of spiritual communion. I find it shelter to be with you, to speak with you. And Jesus certainly needed that at this point in the journey. Now, we know about Lazarus. He's the miracle man. He's the one that fell ill, and news came to Jesus that he was ill. And Jesus, in his travels, his teaching, preaching, and healing, eventually he gets to Bethany, but Lazarus has died. Mary and Martha greet him and said, "Jesus, if you had been here, our brother would not have died." Do you remember the verse, John 11:35? If you've ever played Bible trivia, it's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept when he saw the grief of his closest friends. When one of his closest friends, Lazarus, died, Jesus wept. And so you know that story. He raises him from the dead. And what's important in the flow of events in this passage, as we're leading up to Jesus entering into Jerusalem, is that the awareness of Lazarus rising from the dead is a marker. It's a moment when greater public awareness of Jesus begins to spread, which means potentially a larger following, and the Jewish leaders were getting nervous. And so they were so threatened by Jesus, they began to make the plot against him that he needed to be eliminated. And so Lazarus rising from the dead was a marker. It is a marker that Jesus is no longer safe. He can't move around in public. And so where can he go? He goes to Bethany, to the home of Lazarus, to be gathered in what I call this circle of grace, his closest, most intimate friends. And so you know how the story goes, but in the context, public tension is mounting. And over the story, there looms this pall of impending doom, of Jesus being arrested. There will be a trial. There will be a violent death by crucifixion, and Jesus knows this. He's spoken of it. So he goes to gather in his safe place. I find it shelter to be with you, to speak with you. Now, here's what's fascinating. Nothing in the Gospel of John happens by accident. Everything is well choreographed. Jesus' movement, who he sees, what he does. So this gathering is not by accident. One of my favorite theologians and biblical scholars is named Michael Gorman, and he sees in this gathering a picture of the coming church, the post-resurrection church. So see what he sees. You have a gathering with Jesus. They gather around Jesus. There's the resurrection man that's a preview of Jesus' coming death and resurrection. You have a shared banquet at table. And then you have the anointing of Jesus, which represents worship, adoration. So you put all of those elements together, and we get a picture of what's to come, the church, gathering around Jesus at a sacred banquet in adoration of our Lord. I think that's fascinating. But what Jesus is doing with his intimate friends is what he intends for us. He is acting out the gospel of grace. This dynamic, active, transforming love of God that he is embodying, he's sharing with his disciples. He's taught, "Abide in me and I will abide in you. I and the Father are one." You'll be connected with God the Father. "Abide in me and I will abide in you." Share my life, share my mission. So we see the gospel being acted out even in this small circle of friends gathered around Jesus, being with Jesus. So that's a picture of church for us, gathering around Jesus, the sacred banquet of grace that we get to share. We get to participate in the life and ministry of Jesus and create a community of grace in adoration of our Lord. That's what we're doing here. And the great thing is, we can duplicate this anywhere. We can take this gathering, this very unique festival, this feast of grace, anywhere when we gather in the name of Jesus. I'm reminded of something that Ernest Hemingway said about Paris. In the golden age of Paris in the 1920s, all these writers and poets were there, and Hemingway was there, and he always remembered it fondly. And here's the phrase. He said, "Paris is a movable feast." I love that. The grace of God revealed by Jesus, embodied by Jesus, carried on by the life of the church, our gathering around Jesus, anywhere we are. Grace is a movable feast. And so when we are with Jesus, when we are in with one another, when we find it shelter to be with Him and to speak with Jesus and with one another, we act out the gospel of grace. And we can duplicate it anywhere. That's what church is all about. One of my favorite writers has become a man named Bob Goff. Kathy actually introduced me to him. He has two books that I'm aware of. The first book is Love Does. That shorthand for the Christian gospel, Love Does. And then Everybody Always is his other book. So those are shorthand for what the Christian life and faith are all about. Participating in the love of God through Christ. It's a shareable love, a movable feast. And so Bob Goff talks about a cabin that his family owns up in Canada. And they gather with special friends. And it's a time of this holy friendship and community and connection. And he invites not only family and friends, but all of these people that he meets in his travels, some even celebrities or world leaders. He invites them up to the cabin in Canada, and they have a tradition. When you come to the cabin, there's fellowship, there's food, it's a movable feast. And so you feel connected, you enjoy life together. But before you leave, Bob will ask you to crawl under the dinner table and to write your personal message under the table. And so friends, family, cherished folks in his life have all crawled under that table and written messages, even world leaders. But Bob says, "The message that I cherish most was left by a friend named Don. We had a very special time together, a connection, community, spiritual communion. And when he left, I crawled under the table and I searched for his name, and there was one word that captured the visit. With. With." And so Goff writes, "I don't know what God would write on his table, but I think he would just want to say, with. With is God's purpose for us. With is the reason Jesus came. With is the Bible in one word. Jesus descends from heaven, from God the Father, to be with us. And wherever you see Jesus go, there is a movable feast of grace for those with whom he gathers." The good news is, we gather at the table of Christ today, and I don't know what's written under the table, but I bet there's the word with there somewhere. That's why he came. So when we gather, when we abide in Jesus and he abides with us and with one another in the name of Jesus, something miraculous happens. we are with God. And when we share the gospel of grace, when we make it a movable feast, when we take it out into the streets, into our homes, the places where we gather out there, when we take it with us and act out the gospel of grace out there, that transforming love shapes our lives and shapes the lives of those we gather with. We can duplicate it anywhere we go. We could go over to Poets across the street. When you go into your Sunday school classes or in a Sunday school gathering at home, you can share it with people at work, maybe eating lunch or in a break on a conversation. I've been to the Dipsy Doodle. It happens there, amazingly enough. Emily Dickinson found it in her letters to her friend. Jesus found it when he didn't have a safe place to go. He went to his closest circle of friends, that circle of grace. And I can imagine him saying, I find it shelter to be with you and to speak with you. And they repeated that themselves. That's what we do here. With is the reason Jesus came. Grace is a movable feast. Who needs that connection in your life? Will you carry the banquet table of grace with you as you go? Who needs that connection? Go and share it. And someone in your life will walk away from just a very simple conversation or meeting with you saying, I found it shelter to speak with you. You know why? Because God is with us. So as we gather at the table of Christ and abide in Christ, abide with Christ and one another, may we find that gift of grace here. But more so, it's a movable feast. Let's act out the gospel of grace out there. And then that's how people connect with God. Not just in this room, but in all of our lives. And so let's make the gospel of grace portable. Let's duplicate it in our daily living. Even if it's at the coffee table in your living room, like it was in Lazarus's house in Bethany. Let's make it a movable feast. Someone needs that connection. Amen? Amen.